Good evening. Bear with me, I got a little bit of a cold, so I will do my best here. Hopefully I won't be hacking and wheezing all over everything. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 5. And last time I was before you guys, a couple weeks ago, we did the first part of at least a two-part message here in 1 Thessalonians 5, and it has to do with leadership. Within the body of Christ, those who lead, those who set good examples in leadership. So beginning in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 12, Paul pens, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men, see that no one repays evil with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that within your pattern in the New Testament, you put forth a recipe for sound leadership, the ultimate development of those who would seek and desire the office of elder, those who would desire to be deacons, those that would want and desire to be evangelists. Father, I'm thankful that you've provided for that, but also in the absence of it, you've provided great examples of men and women in New Testament letters of those who labored among the brethren and were highly esteemed. So, Father, I am grateful for their examples and thankful for the opportunity to remind us, as Paul reminded the church in Thessalonica, about the need for great leaders and the response of the body of believers to them. So thankful again, Father, that we've been blessed in this body with many men who are great leaders and willing to do the work required to lead this body. So I pray your blessing upon this message tonight, Father, as we contemplate, again, good leaders and our response to them in a way that we can help to maintain peace in a body where there is sound leadership. Thank you again, Father, for this opportunity to be before your people. I pray for the message that you would be glorified and that they would be strengthened, encouraged, and equipped. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last time I was before you, we got through most of the verse 12. We didn't get to the last part, which talks about those that give you instruction. We'll get to that in a minute. But just a real quick review. Early on in verse 12 there, that the assembly is told in Thessalonica to appreciate those who diligently labor among you. And that was to have an idea of their value to, and the word there, like I told you last time I was up front, has to do with seeing or knowing. So it's looking at somebody that's in leadership and actually understanding and knowing what they do, seeing what they do, and then appraising that value appropriately. And responding to it appropriately. But that's something of tremendous value. There are men and women in every assembly. There should be. There are in this assembly. There are men and women that are worthy to stand before you. Now it says those who have charge over you. But again, that Greek word literally means stand before you. These are ones that are willing to go before you as examples. Put their lives on display for all to dissect and inspect, and then have such an example that you're willing to follow them, okay? And then they offer themselves in their deep-seated faith as a means by which you can refer to them as they're following Christ, you're following them. We have many in this congregation. We're blessed that we have, you know, 5-6 guys that are considered leadership in this assembly. Again, I want you to think about those. And I mentioned last time I was before you that, you know, there are women that labor in this congregation. There are women that labored in congregations in the letters in the New Testament. Romans talks about a couple of ladies in particular that were highly regarded. So in their proper role and in that perspective, you are to esteem those of the female side of the aisle, guys, with the same type of esteem for the things that they do in the body of Christ. Okay? So I just wanted us to remember that. You know, when you look back in Romans 12, and let's go there just real quick. gives that list, and I know that Mr. Wilson has been going through some of that in his messages through the book of Romans. We've made a deviation over to 1 Corinthians 13 because he's dealt with the issue of love. But in Romans chapter 12, talking about good leaders, in verse 8, as it's going through the list, he says, "Or he who exhorts in his exhortation," this is Romans 12, verse 8, "he who gives with liberality," or simplicity, in other words, he doesn't need to toot his horn, "he who leads with diligence." So again, this is a person that's working hard, that with diligence, working hard. Here's a leader working hard. This is not somebody that's got the spotlight shining on them saying, "You notice how hard I'm working." Their example speaks for them. They don't need to have the spotlight put on them because it's a work they desire to do. They're working hard. And so they lead. This is the same word as you see back in 1 Thessalonians 5, there where it talks about those who have charge over you. So I just wanted to get to that tonight before we pressed on. Okay? And remember always, leaders, those who rise to the top in a body as leaders, okay, are willing to first be tested. Understand that? They don't just arrogate power to themselves. They're willing to be tested and to earn it. All right? And they will allow the time necessary to pass to earn that. So just so that we all remember all that. So let's talk about those that are in leadership who give you instruction. Now, this is not the normal word that you would see in the Greek when it talks about being instructed or receiving doctrine. Brethren, this is a word, it's kind of one of my favorite words in the New Testament in the Greek, and here it's translated instruction, but most of the time in the New Testament, it's translated as admonish or admonishing or admonishment, things of that nature. Okay, and it's a really great compound Greek word. It's composed of two words, and it's the word Nutheteo. Okay, it's from the word nous that has to do with the rational mind, the logical mind, where your thoughts, rational thoughts are produced, you know, when you think your way through things. And then it has to do with a word that means to place. See, so, you know, mindset is a big thing in the New Testament for the Christian. And that's the one thing we control, all of us. It really is. You know, circumstances can cause us to react one way or another. And it's always a barometer of how am I doing, you know, in how we react to things. But this is talking about placing the mind. So see, those that have charge over you, Lord, and give you instruction, these are people that verse 13 is going to go on and say that you should esteem them very highly. But this is those who are effective at placing your mind in the proper position. Okay? These are the ones that communicate the Word of God effectively and move your mind into the realm where it should be placed. Spiritually, first and foremost, we understand. But it's those who are effective at communicating and getting you to see and think the way that the Bible wants you to think. See? Those are ones that should be highly esteemed. Let's go back to Acts chapter 20. Look at the example of the Apostle Paul as he brought the elders from Ephesus down to him to meet him in Miletus as he's getting ready to depart from him, and he's headed to what he knows is going to happen. There's going to be some series of difficult events once he gets back to Jerusalem that's going to culminate his Roman imprisonment and all that. In Acts chapter 20, excuse me, instead of getting a bunch of context, I'm just going to grab the verse that has the word I want you to see, and that's verse 31 of Acts chapter 20, talking to the elders. "Therefore, be on the alert." He's after he's warned them that there's going to be those among them that are going to rise up and seek that power and draw away disciples to follow them, not Christ. Okay. "Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." He cared so deeply to try and place people's thoughts in the right. I mean, you can see this guy had deep feelings, deep concerns for those that he worked with. There have been people that have labored in this congregation, I know for a fact, that have shed tears over some of you. Probably have teared two over me. I know that. highly esteemed. You know, the book of Romans in chapter 15, we won't go there, in verse 14, talks about that Paul is convinced concerning the Romans that they're able to admonish one another because they're filled with goodness. They're able to admonish one another. See, this isn't just leadership doing this, brethren. And we'll see when we get further down in 1 Thessalonians 5. We may not get there tonight. But when you go down to 1 Thessalonians 5, it uses that word again and is talking very clearly about fellow Christians being able to admonish others. And in this context, down in verse 14, it's going to be those that are unruly is the word that we're going to see here in the New American Translation, which if we have time, I'll get to what that word probably best communicates. So I like to try and break down Greek words because there's a lot of concepts in those words that the translators do their best to pick a concise word to present the information. But when you break it down into study, you find all these compound words. That's two words made up to communicate ideas and principles and concepts. You find there's much more going on to the word in the Greek and what is able to be communicated typically in the English. And again, I'm not faulting translators. They're just doing the best they can to communicate as concisely as possible. But that's the reason you should be engaged on an individual level in word studies, breaking down the scripture. Take a look at the Greek. Now, I'm not talking about you being a Greek scholar. Just take a look at some of the things that are offered. Sometimes a light bulb will go off in your head. So, again, Romans 15 says they're able to admonish one another. So not just good leaders do that. People within the body of Christ are supposed to do that. Okay? So, go over to Colossians chapter 1. This word is used two times in this letter. Let's look at verse 28. In chapter 1 of Colossians, it says, "And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching." See, here's an example how you can see there's two different words here. One's admonish, placing the mind. The other was a standard Greek word for where we would see teaching. Okay? So, admonishing. So you're placing every man doing what? Teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And if you want to know what kind of wisdom it is, you go back early in chapter 1 of Colossians, verse 9. He says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding." How does that happen? Verse 28 tells you how that happens. We proclaim him, admonishing him. See, good teachers, good leadership is trying to place your mind where God says it needs to go. And it says it's doing it so that we may present every man complete in Christ. What's the goal? According to the book of Ephesians, well, we're supposed to present every man, right, to the fullness of the stature, of the measure, which belongs to Christ. It's the goal. So Colossians is saying the same thing here. Okay, so those who give you instruction, those who are able to place your mind, those who are able to take the scripture, put it together, move you to see things in your mind, understand things in your mind, to where it gets you to go where God's trying to get you to go. You know, I don't know about you guys, but Jared delivered a tremendous message this morning. I don't know how many of you were here. I know some of you, I see the faces weren't here this morning, and I'm sure you had to work for whatever reason. But he preached a great message, a really good message. Jared's in leadership. Hip, hip, hooray, right? You know, doesn't surprise me that a guy that's in leadership like Jared could produce a message. Luke can fly off to the Philippines for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. His family will miss him for sure, but the congregation should be able to just go one step after another. The gears should just keep meshing and going, right? Should. Right? 3:16, Colossians. About the importance of singing. Why we sing in assemblies. Why God's got set up that we sing in the assemblies. Verse 16 of Colossians 3, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom." Gee, that's familiar how this keeps showing up in Colossians, isn't it? Wisdom, teaching, admonishing. Notice that again. There it is, those three. Wisdom, teaching, admonishing. How? Psalms, hymns, spiritual song, Well, is it important to sing and to be involved in singing? Now, I know some of you, and that's going to anger some of you, but so what? You know, so what? I'm supposed to admonish you properly. We sing. Some of you, you're too busy doing other things to be bothered to sing. I look out, some of you just looking back, not singing. And you have great voices and you don't sing. I don't know why. It says here that this is the way that your mind is placed. So you're actually working against God. When you decide, I ain't going to sing, I'm just going to sit here. Have you ever thought of it that way? You should. You're working against God. See, He's trying to admonish you. Put your mind in the right place and you're going to sit there and not sing. Well, I can't sing. Okay. Sing low if you have to, but sing. And let the Holy Spirit straighten out that crooked note. It'll get to heaven and the throne of God in perfect pitch. Do you believe it? I do. So sing. All right, I'm off my horse now. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, pay attention here if you've got children. And fathers, verse 4, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That's admonition. Discipline and placing the mind of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, it's real difficult to put a child in front of a government school system that's doing all it can to turn their mind away from God and think that somehow you're admonishing that child in the ways of God. Now, I am not coming after teachers. Please don't misunderstand me. But I can tell you that the school system that exists today in the United States of America is radically different from when I entered first grade in 1963. Radically different. It's more about teaching your children how to unfreeze the values we've placed upon him, unfreeze them, move them into a new set of values that's contrary to everything we want them to believe, and freeze them into that. You know, look at all the protests going on among children. I mean, I understand children wanting to protest when there's somebody that goes in and slaughters a bunch of them. I understand that. But did you guys know that one of the gals, it's one of the mouthpieces, one of the people out in front, about that whole movement, that protest movement, was involved in bullying that kid that shot them all up? Did you know that? She's one of the mouthpieces up there. And she's the one that bullied him. You heard the media tell you that? Nope. Now, admonition at times is going to take good leaders correcting those that are wrong because their mind's in the wrong place. Back to Thessalonians. Go over to the next book, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 14 and 15. 2 Thessalonians 3, 14 and 15. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that man and do not associate with him so that he may be put to shame. And do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now, you may read those two verses, a Christian, and go, now hold on, I'm a little confused. It says in 14, take special note, do not associate with him. Then it goes on to say, yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him. I know some of you had read this. If you're going to be honest, you're going to go, I'm a little confused. If you're being honest, you'll say, yeah, I'm a little confused with those two verses. The best way I can try and communicate this to you is, if you know that a brother or sister is participating in something they shouldn't be participating in, you don't participate in it with them. However, you would want to go to them and say, hey, brother or sister, this probably isn't the best activity you should be involved in. You don't regard them as an enemy. What's the goal? What are we ministers of? Reconciliation. What's the goal? Reconcile. See? So we don't associate. Now, what is your association? That's always a big question among Christians. Well, what can I do? Hey, you're free to do whatever you do. There is no law. But you have to ask yourself, who's being influenced by whom? And what is my reason for being involved in this? You know, what is my intent? Why am I doing this? To the pure, all things are pure, right? I can stroll into a tavern anywhere in this town. I'm going to have a clear conscience because I know probably I'm doing it for my job. The company I work for offers towels and mops and things like that. And guess what? Bars use them. They use them. I go in there. I'm not drinking, all right? But I'm in there and I'm out. And I've also been in there to drag a brother or a sister out of there a time or two at the request of the spouse. It calls, could you please go get so-and-so? They are down there and I can't. Okay. Now you may see me coming out, drive down the street, and I got a hold of that individual, and all you see is the two of us doing this together. And you think, ha, 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 got him. That hypocrite. I always wanted to nail Kevin. I knew he was full of it. I knew he was a, you know, phony baloney. He was a pretender, not a contender. Yeah, you go through it all, right? You don't know that maybe this person is so inebriated and they outweigh me by 30 pounds that just trying to get into the car is going to, you know, you just don't know that. So why do you judge things without first getting all the information? Now that may be something that you're going to see someday with a brother or sister in Christ. And before you jump, wait and go talk to them. Esteem them very highly, 1 Thessalonians 5. And that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. This esteem in the Greek, hegoamai. It means to lead before the mind. Now remember I told you earlier on in verse 12, it says, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate. And I told you that was a Greek word that says that you know, you see, you know them. Because you've seen them, you know them intimately. Been around them, you're with them. All right? It's about appraising their value, isn't it? Well, the same thing is involved in this word too. That you esteem them very highly. Okay, and this esteem here actually is typically counted, is usually translated, as counted, regarded, consider, or considered. It means you know, when somebody says, consider this, immediately in my mind I go, now I gotta think about that. Because they're asking me to consider something. Or regard this, usually, you know, okay, I gotta think about that. Count, you know, usually most of us, the mind shuts off. I'm done with school. I ain't counting no more. Right? Unless somebody's paying me out in 20s. Yeah, keep them coming, right? 20, 40, 60. You know, then we count. But, you know, other than that, right? Well, this is talking about a thought that is led before the mind. So this means that these thoughts come into your mind and your mind is led by them and you contemplate and you think about it. So that's what's being communicated here about good leaders. Those in leadership, those who present themselves as leaders, the men in leadership here, the ladies that are in leadership in this congregation, some of you know who they are. You know who they are. You do. Right? You consider them. You esteem them. Very highly. This is interesting. It's three adverbs thrown together there. It's kind of wild in the Greek. But it's like, it's over, of, and beyond. That's literally what that word is, very highly. Over, above, and beyond. It's over, above, and beyond. I mean, what else can I say? This is like you really, really, really value them. That includes somebody like me who just got up and got on you for not singing. I really, really appreciate Kevin for doing that. Do you? And that's the question, isn't it? Do I really? Why has he got to harangue me? Why'd you say the things he's got to do? Because I'm trying to get you to heaven. It says, esteem them very highly in love. I got to love them, don't got to like them. Right? No. It's sacrificial love. It's that agape. Why would you love them with the sacrificial love? Because they first loved you with the sacrificial love. They sacrificed themselves for you. Remember, these are people that worked hard to the point of fatigue in the assembly. Many times behind the scenes, you don't see everything that we are involved in. In leadership. Nor do I need you to know everything that I or Luke or Larry or Jared or Mike or Nolan are involved in or some of the others in this congregation that are involved in things. It's not it. What matters is that you understand what we're trying to do when we get up here and we say the things we say. It's because we care about you enough to tell you the truth. Deceitful are the kisses, right? The wounds of a faithful friend, right? So see, if I'm faithful and I'm a friend, sometimes I'm going to say something that's going to wound you. You're going to go, that guy's a jerk. Really, that's going to be your first thought. You're a jerk. And in your mind, off goes your hearing. I can hear your eardrums slam from up here. I'm done. What a jerk. I know that was aimed right at me. I know he said it right at me. How do you know? How do you know? If you're not singing, yeah, I did. Okay? But what about the other things? You know? You don't know. You don't know. We have an awesome assembly here. I really, really, really believe that. But I also know we've gotten a little complacent. I know that. And those of you that will think about it for a while say, yeah, maybe that's true. We have. We've done really well. We are very blessed. And we're starting to get complacent. It's obvious. It's obvious. All right? Now, there's a bunch of verses that talk about those who lead you. There's a bunch in Hebrews. Let's just go there and we're going to close on this. Because I got 7:59, so I got about a minute to go. We're going to just look at several verses. So this isn't going to be a two-part message. It's going to be a three-part. So you got one more message you got to go through about leadership. And I know you're in your back of your mind going, blah, one more, you know. Hebrews 10. 29. We've got to go with the negative first. And we'll get that out of the way. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded... Okay, that's that word. Lead before the mind. Has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace. I'm telling you, brethren, there are some in this assembly that are in that state. How do I know? They come once a week. Once a week only. There's no reason they can't be here Wednesday night or Sunday night. It's their choice. Ooh, Kevin, you are really getting on. I see some of your guys' heads dropping a little bit. I'm serious. Look, brethren, it's true. Look around here tonight. Where was everybody that was here this morning? Do you think they're all at work? You're fooling yourself. And they're fooling themselves. See, so I'm up here to admonish. If they're listening online, I hope they're listening. I care about them. Some of them are slipping slowly out the back door and back into the clutches of Satan. I'm not letting them go without a fight, brethren. I'm not letting them go without a fight. 11. Here we go. A couple quick ones. Moses, what an awesome example. Verse 26. Considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasure of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Considering. He had to calculate, didn't he? What's more valuable? Man, the world can present a lot of value, brethren. A lot of value. And you have to decide what's more valuable. Alright? Let's go to Hebrews 13. Two last verses about leadership. Verse 17. Obey your leaders. I know a lot of you didn't hear that. Let me say it again. Obey your leaders and submit to them. That's a voluntary submission. For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. See, there's times I got to get up here and I got to be a little rough. Jared's got to be that way. Luke's got to be that way. Larry's got to be that way. Nolan's got to be that way. Mike Wodosewski's got to be that way. Roger Migalski's got to be that way. Lorenzo Serrano's got to be that way. Josh Gohl, maybe. Josh is our guy that always reminds us to love. Thank you, Josh. I know you're convicted on the truth. I don't mean anything by that. But Josh is always there to remind us of the need for compassion, mercy, and love. And I appreciate him for that. I really do. Obey your leaders. Submit to them. Verse 24. I want to ask you all if you did this tonight when you came in. Greet all your leaders. Or when you come in, is it like, there he is? Oh, he looked at me. Oh. Hi, Kevin. How are you? You jerk. Right? Now, some of you have that attitude about me. I know it. I know it. That's okay. Give it time, Will. Give it time. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. That's you guys, man. And we're pretty good at greeting one another. We are good at fellowship. So good we get started late all the time. Oh, by the way, those from Italy greet you. I love you guys. And as part of leadership in this congregation, it is my duty to remind you of these things about leaders. And I told you when I preached this message last week, please get it off of me and get it on to the others in the assembly that work hard. And there are many that are unsung heroes in this assembly that do lots of things, particularly in the female persuasion. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you are honest, truthful, faithful, merciful, filled with loving kindness. But you tell us the truth. That's what I appreciate. Help us to be those that would speak truth one another to his neighbor. That includes the neighbor nearest me in the assembly. Help me to understand who we are as your people. Help us all to understand the value of strong leadership and what it does for us. Really, we are to esteem their work and love them because they're helping us to get home to heaven. And we get there, we're going to go, it was all worth it. Everything. Worth it. Lord, please don't allow any to make the decision to end up in that other place without those in leadership fighting for their souls. I'm just thankful again, Father, for the privilege of being before your people to offer up a word of encouragement and to thank you for all you've done for us. Pray that you'll receive our thanksgiving as we offer it up to Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.